football on off the ball.
Several mitigating factors. I think his exit was a little undignified, but I think he's entitled to have an element of dignity because he did win him a league title. And Jurgen Klopp only won them one of those.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Football on Off the Ball with NoviBet. Don't just track the score, watch it live on the NoviBet app. NoviBet, more power to you. 18 plus, see gamblingcare.ie. This is News Talk.
You're welcome back. So, as you're probably aware, there have been reports this week that Ireland's home clash with Israel in the Nations League later this year looks set to be moved to a neutral venue. So we've got the FAI board meeting on Thursday to discuss the matter. They don't want to be commenting on the matter until then. Part of that is obviously due to the fact that the women's team have a pretty big game this evening. They say they don't want to distract from that. In the meantime, Sinn Féin and the Social Democrats, they're bringing forward Dáil motions to call for the full boycott of the fixture. And to speak about this, Joanna Byrne, Sinn Féin TD for Louth and party spokesperson for sport, is with us in studio. Deputy, you're welcome. How are you doing?
I'm great. Thanks a million.
So this evening, by the time people are hearing this, the motion will be put to the Dáil floor. So give us the ins and outs of this. Specifically, what are you calling for this evening?
It's quite a detailed motion Sinn Féin have brought, but the bones of it are, I suppose, for government to support the calls from the Irish footballing community to stop the games. Also to uphold their own obligations under international law in regards to the granting of visas and potentially anybody involved with the Israeli football team and staff that may have served in the military regime there, and to seek to cover any financial implications that the FAI may incur if they went down the path of refusing to participate in the Nations League fixtures against Israel.
Yesterday kind of changes this discussion considerably, doesn't it? The fact that there is going to be no conversation around allowing Israel officials into the country because of this neutral venue situation now.
It does, yeah. And I suppose yesterday's developments is a positive in some sense because it's a sign that there's recognition of the discontent amongst the Irish public. The Irish public do not want Ireland playing Israel in any football match whilst a genocide is ensuing in Palestine and particularly in Gaza, and also occupation and apartheid and all of the terrible things that we're all aware of. We've seen the support for the Stop the Game campaign grow massively in recent weeks. And interestingly, actually, we had the Stop the Game group give a briefing to Oireachtas members in Leinster House this afternoon, and they're releasing a new poll in Ireland, Tinks poll commissioned by the Irish Sport for Palestine group, that has shown the data that proves that the electorate are now following where football already was. They've seen an increase from 48% to 56% of the public don't want these fixtures to proceed in a very short period of time between March and June. And they've also seen opposition to the cancelling of the fixtures reduce from 42% to 38%. So there's now a 20-point gap in favour of these matches not proceeding, whereas there was only a 6-point gap 2 months ago. So the more people are learning about this, the more momentum is growing that these matches should not be proceeding.
In a strange way, yesterday will have probably hardened that position for a lot of people, because it seems like the worst of both worlds, that this idea... Well, actually, if I were to ask you, if this game had to go ahead, would you prefer it to happen in a neutral venue, or would you prefer for it to happen in Dublin?
Well, I don't want the game to go ahead, but, and I think I've been abundantly clear on that.
If the game were to happen, where would you prefer?
I think moving it to a neutral venue removes people's choice to protest. And I think the match would have been unplayable in Ireland. We've seen the recent men's senior team, there was protests with tennis balls, and I believe that was an uncoordinated campaign. It was just something that was done spur of the moment on the day by a group of League of Ireland fans. It wasn't necessarily directed by the Stop the Game campaign group themselves. But I think as momentum grows, who knows what way the protest would go or will go if the game continues here. But I personally think that match would be unplayable. But I think people have the right to air their views and protest on that, and moving that to a neutral venue, it takes away people's choice in that regard. like the issue isn't where the game is played. The issue is who is participating in the game. And I think government need to acknowledge that. I think the FAI are in an awful position, to be fair to them. It's the headache fixture that nobody wanted. They obviously have their own contractual obligations to meet and whatnot. But I believe there's a role for government to support them and paving a clear roadmap to allow them to do the right thing morally and refuse to play the fixtures.
I guess because of the reports that the game will no longer happen here, reports, no confirmation, the government now have an opportunity to sort of wash their hands of this.
Yeah, I think government were always washing their hands of this. Initially, government came out and said they supported the game going ahead in Dublin. Then they came out and said, when they realised there was a bit of discontent, that it was a decision for the FAI. Then only last week, we had both ministers, Minister Patrick O'Donovan and Charlie McConnell-Logue, state to the Oireachtas Joint Committee on Sport that neither of them would be attending the match. It's hypocritical. It's very weak. You either support the match or you don't support the match. And we'll be calling government out in that very strongly this evening. But government's amendment to our motion was actually released before I came into studio this evening. They've essentially washed their hands of the motion again, said it's a decision for the FAI. They cannot continue to stand by in the sidelines and wash their hands of this. They have their own obligations. And we're elected officials, we're community leaders, we're elected to act with morality, and that's what the government need to do. They need to take a moral stand here.
What exactly do you want them to do?
I want them to support the FAI in whatever means possible and allow them to refuse to participate in these fixtures.
And do you think there's that appetite within the FAI?
Look, I can't speak for the FAI. That's for them to answer. And I don't know if they'd ever be able to give you an honest answer. And I think they recognise that Ireland has always had a very strong sense of solidarity with the Palestinian people. I think most people, most right-minded people, know right from wrong and know that the Israeli regime, it's a rogue terrorist state. And we shouldn't be normalising what they're doing. It's sports washing. I think most people know that. The FAI can't come out and say, you know, that they don't believe they should participate in these fixtures, that they've got their own role to play in this. But I think if government weren't, you know, as hands off in this and saying, you know, we'll work with you if this is what you feel to do, we could potentially cover any financial cost that you may receive. They might feel more comfortable and more supported. All that's happening at the moment, moving this fixture to a neutral venue, all it's doing is it's putting further confliction on the players. The players at the moment are feeling the pressure of this. They're shouldering the burden. Granted, they've been told it's a personal choice whether you want to play this match or whether you don't. They're exposed and they're vulnerable at the hands of government at the moment. Whereas if government was taking some leadership in this and saying, we support you as a whole, if you don't want to, we will seek to see what the financial cost of the sanctions might be. We'd support you in taking a case to the court of arbitration and support if you receive sanctions. Then they might feel empowered and the players wouldn't feel exposed and vulnerable. At the moment, it's an individual choice, and I don't think that's very fair for any player to have to shoulder that burden.
And they're under the spotlight. And look, we know what the opinion is of the FAI General Assembly. They have voted en masse to bring a motion to UEFA, which didn't go the way in which the FAI General Assembly would have wanted. UEFA managed to brush that off pretty well. However, we do know what David Correll has said on this manner, on this matter, and he has kind of acted in a similar manner to how the government had previously acted in terms of, you know, this game has to happen, this game will be happening here in Dublin in the Aviva. However, given the reports this week, maybe that is the first sign that they are open to changing with the correct level of support. Now, not to get into whataboutery here, but could I just ask, why wasn't this level of support there for the basketball team a year and a half ago? Because this seems like a very similar situation. What you're saying there about giving the financial support, the Basketball Ireland's big thing was, we cannot afford a fine.
Yeah, I think interestingly, and something I learned again today from that briefing from the Stop the Game group, five of the basketball players actually boycotted that fixture and done so anonymously. because they didn't want the public pressure that might come on them, the complications and additional pressures that might put on their teammates. They felt they were open to threats, safety, security, infringements, all that kind of stuff. I wasn't totally aware of that, but this is just reaffirms my point of the pressure that the football players are under at the moment, that them basketball players felt that they morally they couldn't fulfil that fixture, but they didn't feel that they could say that publicly. And that's now the pressure that we're putting on the footballers as well. Are they impacting their career indirectly, directly? Are they impacting potential progression pathways that may occur outside of Ireland in other countries later on in their career? There's all of these thoughts that I presume are going through somebody. Of course these lads want to line out in their green jerseys, they want to line out for their country. That's the way they're programmed, you know, it's their vocation, it's their love, it's their grow. But they're thinking somewhere in the back of their head the implications that any refusal to play may have, regardless of whether they believe that it's morally right to participate or not. So at the moment, they're exposed. And I feel, you know, if it's a case that the FAI do decide to move the match, that's not going away. If government don't step up and support the FAI in the way we're calling them to do, that's not going away. And eventually it'll come to, I would imagine, it could potentially be a team decision as to whether or not they decide collectively to fulfil the fixture or individually, worse still, individuals may have to make personal choices. And that's not what, them lads are there to play football. That's all they want to do. They shouldn't be taking on the politics of this or the administration of this.
But the basketball team are allowed to do that.
Yeah. Yeah, but they felt they had to do it anonymously.
Yeah, that
speaks volumes. That speaks volumes.
It does.
Yeah, they shouldn't have to make that decision.
The footballers will probably do it anonymously as well. They'll be put down as an injury or personal reasons or whatever the case may be.
I think there's so much focus on this match. I think it would be fairly evident to anybody at this stage if somebody. I don't know. They may try and pursue that. I hope they don't. They don't end up in that position, and it's not a road they have to go down. I sincerely mean that. All these lads want to do is play football, and we should be supporting them in any way that we can. And just to be very clear. Sinn Féin's motion, and I presume I don't want to speak for the Soc Dems or anybody else who may table a similar motion, it's not anti-football. You know, this is to try and support football. This is a question of morality. It's a question of government showing leadership, and it's a question of right or wrong. And I think the Irish government have a choice to make on which side of history they want to go down in this.
The Taoiseach has said that UEFA, that FIFA, football organisations on a continental and global level haven't been very politically focused or conscious. To be fair, he's not wrong when he says that.
I would have probably have a different view on that. I think they're very politically focused, and I think there might be a fear in regards to standing up to Israel, the backers of Israel, potentially American backers, American money. I would say, you know, there's a choice here in which political favours that they support and which they don't.
And I guess, look, they were very politically focused when it came to Russia in 2022.
And that's what I mean. There's a history in this state. We've done this before. The Irish government done this in 1999 when there was a Fianna Fáil government in place. Bertie Ahern, you know, made his views very clear. It's just baffling, you know, that there's a resistance and there's a reluctance to hold Israel accountable for their actions in Palestine and Gaza.
There's also been a commitment to legal action now at this stage, legal letters that have been sent to many of the main stakeholders of Irish sport. Talk to us about this and what you expect to be the outcome on this front.
My understanding of this is a pre-legal letter was sent this morning to the FAI, to Sport Ireland, the Minister for Justice, and I believe the Ministers for Sport. My understanding is it's an 18-page letter that has gone, and this outlines all the legal and moral reasons why these matches should not proceed. I think they have 21 days to revert back, and depending on what responses they receive, the campaign will then decide whether they pursue it legally. But I believe they will if it comes to it.
In what court would that actually go to? Like, because we know that under UEFA statutes, you have a really strong legal case, certainly when it comes to Israel, that they have broken two of UEFA's own statutes in particular. But I'm not quite sure under what jurisdiction that would actually
rest.
I'm
not entirely sure myself either, and I don't want to say the wrong thing, as this was only released today, but I know they will be taking a judicial review. I presume it will potentially could be Irish, or it could be the Court of Arbitration for Sport. I'm not entirely sure. I think that would be for the legal representative of Phoenix Law, perhaps, to get more detail on.
You are the party spokesperson for Sport. If you were the Minister for Sport, what would you be doing in this situation?
The exact same thing as I've done from the 12th of February. I don't believe these matches should proceed. I would do anything and everything that was in my power to support.
What
and
does that look like for the Minister of Sport? Because I think there's a confusion here as to... And look, maybe that's what people want to paint a picture of there being a sense of helplessness. But what kind of government action do?
Simple. I feel, right, my personal view is I feel the FAI are afraid, in some sense, to put a foot wrong when it comes to the Irish government. We've seen a threat last year in relation to funding, being frozen. We've had this kind of a couple of times, and Minister throwing his weight around in some respects. And it's just my personal view. I feel the FAI probably don't want to put a foot wrong when it comes to the Irish government.
But they've been fully empowered. Michal Martin has said it's up to the FAI, so they can't really put a foot wrong. It's up to them in the eyes of the government.
I don't know. I don't know how tangible and how realistic that is. I would imagine if the FAI decided to, at this moment in time, or had done in February, decided not to fulfil this fixture. I would imagine there would have been a little bit of a hoo-ha around, and you're not fulfilling fixtures, but yet you expect us to increase your funding. And there's all this kind of dark cloud has been hanging over the FAI, and the FAI have done Trojan work in the last couple of years to rebuild their reputation, particularly in the League of Ireland office. There's massive work going into empowering domestic football, grassroots football, and League of Ireland football in particular, something that's a real passion of mine. They've got a tarnished reputation that there's always this dark cloud over, that they're trying to stay one foot in front of the whole time. So my personal view is that they probably don't feel empowered to make an independent decision, because if there was financial implications, would that have a bearing when they come back pre-budget time this year and ask government for continued funding or more funding? And then they would say, well, you had an opportunity to make money. You've now incurred a financial sanction. Do you expect us to foot the bill for that? I think real leadership has to be shown. And if there was that real leadership there, the government wouldn't be opposing our motion this evening. They wouldn't be opposing a motion tomorrow. Instead, they've just washed their hands of it. It's this flip-floppy, watery, pat each other on the back, look at all the great things we're doing, but we're not actually saying nothing, and we're going to leave it over there to the FAI to decide. And depending on what way you act, we may have a different conversation further down the line. Like, it's not strong enough, it's not political leadership, and it certainly isn't the morality that the Irish public expect from their government.
On a final point on this, if it comes to a situation where the game is played, and it is played in Dublin, even though it has to be said that does look unlikely after yesterday's reports, what does that protest actually look like with an Israeli football team in Dublin?
Personally, I don't think... I can't speak for the Irish footballing community, and I can't speak for the Stop the Game campaign, which I presume they have discussed. They are the leaders in this mobilisation. I just don't think that the team would get anywhere near the pitch. I could envisage perhaps blockades, peaceful protests. I'm not suggesting anything otherwise, but I don't believe that the match would be playable in Dublin. I don't think it's fair to not only put, our football team in that position. There's ancillary staff in the FAI. There's staff in the facilities and, in the Aviva. There's taxi drivers, there's bus drivers. There's a whole range of people that would be implicated with a security risk if that match was to go ahead. I don't think it would come that far. I think the city would potentially be shut down. We've seen mass protests for various other things. I think if we would see something similar like that, I think the city would be shut down. I don't think anybody would get near the venue, and I don't think the match would proceed. But as I say, the crux of the issue here isn't where the match is played. The crux of the issue is who's participating in the match and who are expected to play.
It does feel as if there are enough opportunities and enough get out of jail free cards going here for this game to happen in Hungary. For the government to wash their hands of this enough, and the FAI to defer to the government, and the government to defer to the FAI. How can you be convinced that this game won't actually just happen in Hungary?
I'm not convinced at this moment in time. As I said to you at the onset of this conversation, I think yesterday's developments and rumblings of this match being moved, in some sense, there's a positive that you can take from that. There's recognition that there's discontent amongst the Irish public. There's recognition that there's massive discontent amongst the Irish footballing community, as we've spoke about already. The FAI's own stakeholders and their own members have voted massively in favour of Israel being suspended from international competitions. They're moving very quickly. They've got the numbers to bring an extraordinary general meeting in the coming weeks, and that will be to take a vote for them not to fulfil this fixture. So, you know, I'm not at this stage. It's probably still very early doors. I'm not privy to the FAI's discussions, but I certainly think there's recognition now at this stage that there's massive discomfort with this match proceeding in any way, shape or form. It could have been a testing of the waters to see, you know, how would it go if we opted to move it to a neutral venue. It could have been a testing of the waters to see how this evening's motions and tomorrow's motions go, and what government's response may have been to them. There could be a multitude of factors going in there. Only the FAI can answer that. But sincerely, from my point of view, and certainly from Sinn Féin's point of view, we don't want this match to proceed at all. It's not about it being played in Hungary, in Timbuktu, in Dublin or anywhere. We don't want these matches to go ahead at all, and we don't believe they should.
Okay. Deputy, there is one of two stories that I wanted to chat to you about today. The Israel story is one. The other is your involvement in Drogheda United, which people will remember from earlier this year, from back in March when you were removed from your position as co-chairperson of Drogheda United. I think it's worthwhile just doing a refresher on this entire story for people who maybe forgotten about it 3 months on. Why were you removed as co-chairperson of Drogheda United?
I can't answer that specifically. That's potentially a question you would have to put to the board members and the owners of Drogheda United. You know, it's very easy for people sitting on the sidelines to say there was a conflict of interest, you know, she should have stood down beforehand, potentially that this was in the making in the background. The issue of a conflict of interest did arise on a couple of occasions over the last 18 months, to the point that I actually asked the owners of the club last summer to go and seek out independently themselves, was there a conflict of interest? I asked them to speak to the governing bodies in Ireland, the international governing bodies, which they did, and come back and told me that they didn't believe there was a conflict of interest and they were happy for me to continue in my role.
Sorry, when did I say that to you?
Last summer,
okay.
Yeah. So I think, you know, it's potentially saying there was a conflict of interest was perhaps a convenient reason to justify their actions. You know, I've consciously made a decision, and I know you have reached out to me before, not to speak about this in the media. I've done one media interview and that was at my local radio station, LMFM. I chose to do LMFM because it was local and because the supporters of the club listened to the radio. And I believe that they needed transparency and they needed to hear from me what happened, which is something I always vowed to give them throughout the whole takeover process of the club and subsequently afterwards. I always vowed to be transparent. It was the only thing I could commit to giving, and I honoured my word and that. After that, I made a conscious decision not to speak about it because I love the club, I love my colours, I love the team, I love the great people that's involved in the club, that has ran the club for so many years. And I didn't want the club embroiled in controversy. I still don't. I don't want to see it dragged back into the gutter. Obviously, it was going to rear its head today with the motion that I'm tabling this evening and moving on behalf of the party. I was asked about it briefly this morning. But look, I stood true to my own convictions on this issue. If I had to do it all again, as much as it's cost me, and as hard as the last few months have been for me on a personal level, I would make the same decision.
Doesn't sound like a very satisfying ending.
No,
or even,
but
or even an ending that were full of clarity.
No, and I've no clarity. That's been honest with you. The dialogue wasn't there. The communication wasn't there. It was all done very businesslike. And I was just informed. And I don't have that clarity. And that's probably been the hardest part of the last few months, you know, on me. I was very isolated, probably left very hurt I've took some time, I've rebuilt myself, I'm healing. Obviously, I still love my club, I still support them at every opportunity, but we just need to draw a line under it now for the good of the club and not get back into the ifs and whats and he said, she said kind of thing. It was a very disappointing end. It was a very disappointing end for me. And I think for Drogheda itself, the town, the city of Drogheda and indeed the football club and everybody involved, I think it was a very disappointing end and it didn't have to come to that.
Okay. You've been listening to Joanna Byrne, Sinn Féin, TD for Louth and party spokesperson for sport here in Studio Deputy. Thanks a million for coming in.
Thanks a million.
Football on Off the Ball with Novibet. The summer of football has kicked off, and whether you're a new or existing customer, the Novibet app is here. Novibet, more power to you. 18 plus, see gamblingcare.ie.
This is News Talk.